say ah. It's time for Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Specializing in periodontics, implants, and regenerative techniques, Dr. Edelstein's practice is Atlanta's premier periodontal office, where dentistry is both an art and a science. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com. And now, Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. I want to remind our listeners, we still have our new patient special. It's $129 and it is worth $650, we estimate. So, also, we have interest-free financing for a year, or 10% off if it's over $2,000, the treatments that one needs. And before we were recording today, we were talking about how a person can look beautiful. You get somebody who comes in wearing a three-piece suit, you know, or they look like they're at a GQ or a woman out of some fashion magazine, mm-hmm. and they open their mouth and you take a nice, good look at the situation as only you know how to see it. And it seems like such a contradiction in terms to see somebody so attractive on the outside and so hurting on the inside, Dr. Edelstein.
It's a complete contradiction, and you wouldn't believe how common that is.
I said they could have an ecosystem inside. Oh. If you know what I mean, bacteria growing, and
it is that way.
I call it a terrarium.
A terrarium.
yes. But, we talked one of the previous shows, periodontal disease is an epidemic, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. And the CDC recently did a study, and this was a groundbreaking study in that they discovered that 70% of the American population age 65 or over has some form of periodontal disease, and 50% of the population over age 35 has some form of periodontal disease. And this was shocking because periodontal disease is already advanced. It's already advanced to the point where there's bone loss. So this isn't just a little puffy gum. This isn't just a little bit of inflammation. This is frank periodontal disease, which is rather advanced. It was underestimated for years because they spot checked the mouth, all of the previous studies, and this was groundbreaking because they did more of a comprehensive exam, and they found that it was just epidemic.
At what age would you say generally it begins? You told me about a patient you had who, I don't think she's more than about 12 years old.
Yeah.
But periodontal disease, but generally would you say, you know, what's the wheelhouse?
There is we call it in the profession, the garden variety periodontal disease. Usually you don't see that till about age 35. There are forms of periodontal disease that we'll see younger. A patient as young as 8 or 9 can get a very aggressive form of periodontal disease, but that's not the common garden variety type. Usually over age 35, there's a shift in the immune system and someone becomes prone to bone loss when there's inflammation in the tissues. Before that age, someone tends to be privileged. And if there are inflamed tissues, there tends not to be bone loss. But over age 35, and it becomes a significant problem. As a matter of fact, it is the most significant cause for tooth loss in an adult. Most people don't know that.
I didn't know that. I thought that there was, you know, cavities or...
It's not trauma. It's not
trauma.
It's not decay or cavities. It is periodontal disease. It's the most common cause for tooth loss, and it is truly an epidemic. Fortunately, we have terrific treatments for it.
The treatments that we have today compared to, let's say, I happened to mention to you before we were recording, the treatment that I had 30 years ago. And it's much different today, right?
Completely different.
Right, but some people in their mindset, this is what they're going to mm-hmm. expect, and it's saying, oh, geez, I don't want to go through this.
Before mm-hmm. we really understood periodontal disease like we do now, obviously the science has changed considerably. One of the earlier treatments was just to cut the gums away. And it was kind of, it was barbaric, to say the least. I don't think I've ever done a case like that in the past 30 years because it kind of predated me. And then...
that was very common, though, wasn't it?
Yes.
My mother had it done, actually.
I probably did. That was the time frame. And it was very common. And it just, you know, people wore dressings or bandages around the teeth for weeks, and it was uncomfortable. And that's what gave periodontal treatment a bad rap, to be quite honest with you. Since then, our treatments have become minimally invasive. They've become atraumatic. They become easy. Whether I do non-surgical treatment for someone or surgical treatment for someone, and we'll go into more detail as this show progresses, but either non-surgical or surgical, my patients either have no discomfort or they have extremely minimal amounts of discomfort to where they're back to work within a day or two.
Sue Skipper, what percentage of patients would you say are very concerned about the comfort factor when they come in?
Almost every one of them are, and really? I can't blame them. You know, I'd want to know, is this going to hurt or not? They almost will always ask that question, especially if it's their first time. And, you know, the majority of the time we do get to assure them it's not going to be as bad as you think.
How about if they say to you, I don't care what you do, I want to be knocked out?
We'll do it. We have it on board.
Do you see that situation?
Sure.
Without even knowing?
Not often. That's a real phobic or fearful patient. But I will tell you this. If they will just give us a few minutes and listen to us, most of the time, after we give them the feedback that we hear over and over from other people who have had that similar procedure, most of the time they'll go, well, okay, yeah, maybe I don't need to go to sleep for that, but I might have a Valium the night before. I mean, honestly, it doesn't have to be that bad, and it's not. It doesn't have to be anymore.
I think you've told us in a prior show that what they say to you afterwards, they say things like, wow, this was nothing.
They say, you're right. That's what they always say. You were right. You told me this was not as bad as I thought.
I would encourage you, Jeff, or anyone, just to check out our reviews online, and you'll see what people think about their experience with us.
In fact, I saw one review. I read it somewhere, and I made a photocopy of it, and it was from somebody named RJ.
RJ.
She gave us permission.
Oh, she did?
Yes. She did give us permission.
Can I read this? Is this all right?
Yes, of course you can.
We don't know what her name was. I don't know what her name is. I mean, I just know the initials, and I could be anybody. But she says, a week ago, maybe this was written a week ago, she says, I was diagnosed with gingivitis and referred for a second opinion to Dr. Edelstein in 2013. How often are people referred to you for a second opinion?
Frequently.
By the way, before I even read the rest of this, I've got a question just popped up. Suppose I'm not referred for a second opinion, but I just want to, and I'm happy with my dentist, seems to be doing a good job, been seeing him for a long time, or her for a long time. I just want you to take a look at my mouth, though, and tell me whether I'm on the right track with what this dentist is doing for me.
You know, with the new patient special we have, why wouldn't someone do that? As a periodontist...
I mean, we're talking about serious stuff here.
Sure.
We are.
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, as a periodontist, I can tell you periodontal disease is dramatically undiagnosed as well as undertreated by the dental community at large. And a lot of patients will have repeated deep scalings in the general office, and there is still disease there. They haven't really completed the periodontal treatment to completion. And most of the time, because this tool that a general dentist has is just non-surgical deep scaling. So patients will frequently get scaling over and over again, and every 2 years or so. As a matter of fact, I have one patient, which I'd like to talk about, had deep scaling redone 8 times over 18 years.
Hmm.
And by the time he came to see me, and he came on his own, not referred, he had 3 teeth that were hopeless and 2 teeth that were very, very guarded, and we subsequently couldn't keep one.
Even with all the scaling that he had done?
Well,
I mean, every 2 years this fellow was
Jeff,
getting...
scaling isn't thorough if a periodontal pocket is deeper than 5 millimeters. The pocket is the tissue around the tooth.
Five millimeters. Is that like when they do that thing with,
yes,
they say 3,
yes,
4,
yes,
6,
yes,
2?
1,
2. I love
it's,
that.
It's the millimeter.
I was hoping, like, maybe, what about a 10?
You know
what
I mean? Want a 10.
No,
I don't know that.
It's the only time 10 is not a good number.
You know, I'm very competitive. I don't want 3s and 4s. No, I'm just kidding.
Deep periodontal pockets are not the deep pockets you want. Let's put it that way. <one, really. laughs>
Other deep pockets yes. you may want.
You don't want to be a perfect 10.
No. Not in our world.
In millimeters, what we're measuring is the depth of the gum tissue around the tooth. There should be a collar of gum tissue that the best way to visualize it is a turtleneck. Around a turtleneck around the tooth of gum tissue. It should be in health 1, 2, and 3 millimeters. 4 is kind of borderline. 5 or above indicates an anaerobic bacterial infection and periodontal disease. When these pockets are less than 5 millimeters, then deep scaling is effective. And we've done dozens of studies that prove that. Once the pocket is over 5 millimeters, scaling doesn't reach the bottom of it. So it doesn't matter if
doesn't matter how many times you do it. It
doesn't matter how many times. It's not getting the depth of the pocket deeper than 5 millimeters clean. So there's still an infection there. So people can get scaling and root planing redone over and over again every other year for the rest of their lives, and this disease will slowly progress because they haven't been referred to a specialist to get the option of having other treatments. And there are many, many other treatments besides deep scaling.
And what's tricky a lot for that patient that you're describing or that syndrome that we see now is that when a patient has a scaling every other year or every 3 or 4 years, their gums kind of look good. So unless you're really a periodontal detective, you think there's no bleeding, they're not puffy, they're not inflamed, he's looking pretty good. You really have to be a detective and look carefully.
So to answer your previous question, absolutely, a patient is more than welcome to come see us for a second opinion or a first opinion, and have eliminated the barrier to that by creating this new patient special.
Can a tooth, we're talking like 9s and 10s now.
Yes.
Can that tooth be saved?
Yes. As a matter of fact, it depends on the situation, of course.
Or is it just a matter of time, you know?
It depends on the situation. There are excellent regenerative procedures available today where we can actually use growth factors, bone grafts, and we can actually regenerate the bone around the tooth. We have patients in our practice that we've done regeneration on 20, 25 years ago, and those teeth are here, they're healthy, and they don't have any sign of infection. The best implant, last week we talked about implants. The best implant is saving someone's natural tooth. We can do that. It doesn't have to remain diseased even at a lower level. Any periodontal diseases could be resolved either non-surgically or surgically with regenerative techniques. The best way to look at what we do as a periodontist is we will save teeth if at all possible because they're the best implant. And if that's not possible, then we will replace teeth with implants.
All right, we're going to talk more in just a moment. We have to take a break, but I do want to talk about RJ and Please this do. Review that we found online here. RJ, who was diagnosed with gingivitis and had a referral to you and went and got another opinion somewhere else. We'll talk about that in just a moment, folks. We've got lots to talk about today. You're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Visit mygumdoc.com, mygumdoc.com. His office is right on Peachtree. What's your address? You're right across the street from Piedmont Hospital.
2045 Peachtree Road.
2045 Peachtree. So you're right across the street from Piedmont Hospital, right next door to the Darlington.
Yes.
What's the population up to now? About 6 million?
We need to look every time we come.
I did look.
You did look. What is it?
It was 6.3 and change.
6.3 million.
Yes.
What was it when you came to Atlanta?
1.8 or 9. It was under 2 million.
Sue, you've been here a long time.
2-something. Wow. I remember seeing that sign for the first time, and it was 2-something. That's something. Yeah.
All right. And we want to tell you also, folks, we have a seminar coming up, an evening lecture, on Thursday, September 10th at Brio, which is quite wonderful, 6 p.m. It's free. And it's right in the Peach Shopping Center, not far from your office, actually, just maybe a mile north of your office or so.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be talking about
implants. It's going to be everything you want to know from, you know, that what a patient would want to know about implants. What we find is that there's a great many folks out there that do need implants. They may be fearful. They may have gotten an opinion. They aren't sure whether they're a candidate. So we're going to answer any question that people or concern that people have about implants.
All right, we're going to talk more about that when we come back. Folks, visit mygumdoc.com, mygumdoc.com. back with more of Open Wide with Sue Skipper, Dr. Bruce Edelstein in just a moment.
And now back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. And Dr. Edelstein, for those who have never heard the show before, maybe you can tell our audience a little bit about your background. You have a very stellar resume, if I may say so myself.
You're very kind, Jeff.
You went to all the schools that turned me down. All three. Penn, Cornell, and Emory. They all turned me, every one of them.
I am just honored to have had that type of background and training. And I was just inspired to go to Cornell. I just had to go. No one ever went to college in my family. And my father was an electrical engineer, and he started manufacturing transformers. And he took on a partner, and his partner went to Cornell Engineering. And I remember when I was 6 or 7 years old, with a finger in my face, he would tell me, if you do really well, you're going to go to Cornell.
And you did.
And he got ill and passed away when I was 15, and I completely forgot about this imprint in my subconscious. And I was driven to go to Cornell. And it wasn't until the week I graduated till I remembered my father with a finger in my face.
Wow.
I was driven to go because of what he said when I was 6 or 7.
Wow.
And I forgot about it for 15 years.
So that's where you went to undergrad.
That was undergrad, and then I went to Emory, and then the University of Pennsylvania for my periodontal training.
Excellent. Penn. So you went to a couple of Ivy League schools?
Just a few. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. And you graduated with honors?
Yeah, there were a few along the way.
Come on. You know.
There were some.
Sue Skipper, you've been a hygienist by training for many, many years.
Yes.
How long?
32.
Wow. You don't look old enough to be
a
33
year. My knees and back say otherwise, but.
Would you say that a hygienist experience is so important?
You know, yeah, it is. I mean,
a hygienist with 10 years experience, would you say, is more competent than one with a year's experience?
You know, just skill-wise, anytime you can be in a multitude of situations and you gather data from the set of parentheses, the common and the extreme to the left and the extreme to the right, you can come out of school cleaning teeth fairly well. But I think what makes for good experience or good proficiency is experience. And I thought I was a great hygienist before I came to work for a periodontist. And then it just rocked my world. It was a whole new world opening up.
How long have you been working together?
20 years.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And teeth cleaning, as you called it,
yes,
just a moment ago,
yes,
that itself has changed over the years. The techniques that are used, the equipment?
You know what? Yes. In our office in particular, we have something called a perioscope. We're the only office in the state of Georgia that has it. That technology has rocked our world. As a hygienist, it has rocked my world. I never cease to be amazed when I use it. I don't know, Dr. Edelstein, maybe 40 offices have it nationwide,
yeah.
30, 35. So it's
about that.
It's technology that for the first time ever, when I do a deep cleaning, which is non-surgical treatment for gum disease, for the first time ever, I can see what I'm doing. Prior to then, it was blind. You did your best. You're trained with your fingertips to feel if that root surface is clean. But the scope has really humbled us.
And for the first time, you can go deeper than 5 millimeters.
Because I can see it, and I know it's there, and I reach for it. And honestly, there were teeth that I would have left a long time ago, that if I had my eyes closed, I would have stopped. And I insert that tiny camera down in there, and it's like, wow, there's still more stuff.
Magnifies, what, up to 45 times?
Yep, absolutely. And the patients aren't any more sore afterwards. Takes a little more time to do. It increases the time, maybe another 15, 30 minutes, depending on the case. They're comfortable afterwards. But that one piece of technology has literally changed treatment for patients. I mean, we're excited about it because it's a cool thing to use, but it's really reduced the amount of surgery in our office by 60%, would you say?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
We've been able to achieve results that are comparable with the surgical result.
Yes.
Without surgery.
Yes.
with the non-surgical treatment.
Do you stay up with the technology so that such that when a new device comes out, you want to be one of the first to have it if it's something that's going to be really helpful to the patients?
Yes, and no, because there are a lot of technological breakthroughs in quotes driven by the manufacturers, and well, I should say sales are driven by the manufacturers, and there's not a lot of science behind it. And
they'll say, well, you got to have this.
Oh, yeah.
This is the newest, latest, greatest.
Oh, yeah, and there's testimonials and not a lot of research. But there are hundreds, if not thousands, of articles that talk about paramount in periodontal treatment is getting the roots clean. But I never really liked the resolution of the older units. And the company that came out with it about 20 years ago, unfortunately, they didn't sell enough numbers of a valuable tool, and the company went out of business. And then about 5, 6, 7 years ago, a very entrepreneurial periodontist on the West Coast by the name of John Kwan, you can go to his website if you'd like and look him up. He purchased the rights to the name Perioscopy and Perioscope, and he came out with a high-resolution unit for the first time now in you know, we have a high-resolution unit. And I think I had the 10th unit that he sold in the United States.
Wow.
He also sold 10 in China in the same time frame. But with this high-resolution camera, we can use a tiny probe and look into that collar of gum tissue, and we can clean below 5 millimeters for the very first time non-surgically. This is really cool.
Are there some dentists, sometimes I kind of ask you an embarrassing question, but are there some dentists who they don't want to spend the money on the new technology? You know, it's just maybe they feel like their office, they just can't afford it.
Sure.
But then I think the patient, in a sense, isn't availed of the new, of what's out there.
Oh, of course.
You know what I mean?
Of course. There are dentists all the time that won't get on. It's a bell curve. And there are early adapters, and there are late adapters, and there's a lot in the middle. I do not want to be the first one on the block to have a piece of equipment until there is some study behind it and there's a track record behind it. I don't think we should be testing on patients, and that's what that amounts to. But I do, if there is a piece of technology that is fairly new and there's good research behind it, as well as some studies that span at least a couple of years, then I'm going to look into it.
Excellent.
And this technological piece of equipment does fulfill that checklist for me in the practice, and it's a new tool, and it's wonderful for patients.
Good. All right, now the review from RJ. RJ, I promise we're getting to you. I like this because it's only about a week old. So it says, I was diagnosed with gingivitis and referred for a second opinion to Dr. Edelstein in 2013. I followed up with the appointment, and when he explained the gum surgery needed, I was terrified, thinking in the past how other dentists have butchered my mouth. I think that's a very common refrain that some people have. They had a bad experience at one time. It was just awful. And they, you know, look, they're not going to be gluttons for punishment. Okay? Can you think of how many people don't go because they're afraid, because out of fear?
Absolutely.
But boy, it's going to come back to bite you. Mm-hmm. You might as well face it.
No pun intended.
But there's no reason to have that.
No pun intended.
Yeah, that's right. So, of course, I went for a second opinion. A second opinion of your opinion.
Correct. So, a third opinion.
All right. So, this who provided false hope with three-month cleaning treatments, which at the end of the third treatment and money spent, he recommends the same surgery Dr. Edelstein has recommended a year ago. So guess what? On June 18th of 2015, well, that's very recent, I had the surgery completed. Post-op was amazing. No pain.
Correct.
The procedure was painless, and Dr. Edelstein was great. I would definitely recommend his services to anyone who needs gum implants or major surgery. He's great. By the way, Sue Skipper, I'm going to maybe embarrass Dr. Edelstein again. I mean, what do the patients say about his bedside manner, if I may ask?
They do love seeing him. I mean, he's kind, he's patient, he's gentle, he has a very good surgical technique, and they really are appreciative of that.
Isn't that nice? A good listener?
Good listener, yep.
I think that's really important, but I just wonder how many people out there don't get done what they need to get done because they're so worried about the pain and discomfort.
A lot, probably.
Millions,
more than
I'm
we
sure.
care.
They worry, well, this is going to cost, it's going to be pricey. It's going to cost a lot of money. I don't have that kind of money. But you have financing available.
We do.
You have interest-free financing.
Interest-free financing. And one way to look at it is it would be, it's far more expensive if someone doesn't do it.
This is so true, huh? I mean, like I say, all right, it was a bad pun. It's going to come back to bite you. Wasn't it true? I mean, it's, you know, I liken it to the little crack in the windshield. You know, people ignore
absolutely.
It and they say, ah, it's nothing. You know?
Absolutely. Or like my dad always used to
like
say.
Like it's going
to
go away.
Yeah, car insurance. You can't afford to have it. You can't afford not to right. have it. Same thing with health insurance. Same thing with renter's insurance. You feel like you can't afford the premiums, right. but you can't afford not to.
Well, how about the, here's another analogy. How about you notice when you're driving your car, it's not quite shifting gears the way it should be. It's a little mm-hmm. slipping a little bit or something. And you say, no big deal. I'll just ignore it. You know something? It doesn't go away. It gets worse.
It only gets worse.
It only gets worse.
Same thing with periodontal disease.
I think people can't afford not to see a periodontist.
Mm.
I mean, either by referral or directly. Anyone who's diabetic, smoker, any sort of immune disease. Jeff, did you know someone with rheumatoid arthritis? Obviously, they have a very uncomfortable life. Someone with rheumatoid arthritis who gets periodontal treatment, if they have periodontal disease, their inflammation and pain is reduced.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, interesting. It's kind of an interesting side.
It is.
Sidebar.
It is. So
unintended consequence or whatever, but.
Yes. Yes. Well, some of the inflammatory pathways are shared, apparently.
Interesting.
And any woman who's planning to get pregnant, if they have periodontal disease, they're 7 times more likely to have a preterm delivery.
Wait a minute, say that again. If they're pregnant.
If someone is pregnant, a woman is pregnant and has periodontal disease, it turns out that they are 7 times more likely to have a preterm underweight delivery of the baby.
So ladies, get treated now before you get pregnant.
I think that's the smartest thing that someone could do if they're planning, I think it should be part of the family planning, to be honest with you.
Absolutely. I mean, break that down into real life. She has gum disease, is concerned maybe about the cost of that treatment. But the other end of that story, and I'm remembering a nurse we saw a long, long time ago before we were even familiar with these stats who had advanced gum disease. We saw her at Colony Square. And she had a preterm baby, came in, had her teeth cleaned right after the baby was born, crying because her baby's in the preemie care.
Mm.
She can't bring the baby home for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks because it's so premature. In the meantime, the hospital bills for that preemie care are exponentially greater than just that little fee for the treatment that she desperately needed.
Wow.
And in real life, it means that. It means that scenario. We throw these statistics out, but the consequences are quite grave.
Sure. And
when
a
you see
baby.
Them played out.
And a healthy baby, too.
Correct. Mm. Yeah.
All right. We have to take yet another break, folks. When we come back, Dr. Edelstein and Sue Skipper, I'd like to talk about the treatments for gum disease, both the non-surgical and the surgical treatments. Folks, you're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Visit mygumdoc.com. Also, their office is on Peachtree, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital, right next to the Darlington. We joke about it. The Darlington, which, Sue, you said years ago, the Darlington was quite a happening.
It was the happening
hip,
party place.
Happening party place.
On Till Hill.
Okay, well, it's not anymore, and you're right next door to them.
Yeah.
All right, visit mygumdoc.com, mygumdoc.com. We'll be back with more. Open Wide in just a moment.
And now, back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. And I want to remind you folks, there is an evening lecture, a free lecture about implants on Thursday, September 10th at Brio, one of my favorite restaurants, by the way. I used to work in the building next door to it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a wonderful restaurant,
mm-hmm.
Brio. And it's free. You're going to have some like heavy hors d'oeuvres, that kind of thing?
Very heavy.
Excellent.
Hors d'oeuvres.
I can make a meal out of heavy hors d'oeuvres.
Oh yeah. This will be a meal.
Especially at Brio.
Mm-hmm. It's fully complimentary. They're there's no obligation for anything beyond that. It's purely a public service that we're doing to provide information about implants.
Mm. And it's at 6 o'clock. Admission is free, but go to mygumdoc.com to register, folks. Sue, I'm going to put you on the spot again. Okay. I ask you all these questions, okay, and I'm too embarrassed to ask Dr. Edelstein.
Okay.
Do you feel like if everybody knew what your office is like there and the quality work that you do and the way you treat people, that everybody would come to you?
I do feel that way, of course. Excellent. I do. I mean, that's why I'm there 20 years. I have to feel good about what I do during the day.
Now, you've said that on this show before.
I got to feel
that's more important to you than anything, is bringing quality to your clients.
Absolutely.
Well, patients.
You left once.
Yeah, I did. I did leave once. I thought I was going back to school for a different career, and I wanted something less challenging.
And, less demanding?
Less demanding, absolutely. Because you know what? If we can't save people's teeth at the periodontal office, there's nowhere else to go, and you feel that responsibility. And but I came back. I called him a week later crying. I made a mistake.
Oh, and you took her back.
Yes, she did. She left like a lady, and the door was open to come back.
Absolutely.
Always.
No reason not to.
Excellent. And I always think that the hygienist is not the doctor, but also kind of like my first line of defense, in
yes.
a sense.
Yeah.
So sometimes you can say to the hygienist, look, would you tell him whatever it is, you know what I mean?
We hear that, sure, we do, absolutely. I mean, we are. If they're coming to spend an hour with us and they're trusting us to maintain their newly found periodontal health, we are that first line of defense. We are the one who spends that hour with them and are responsible for reporting what we find to him.
You know, I've had clients who have very professional offices. I'm not talking about in dentistry, just anything.
Yeah.
Very professional offices. They do outstanding work. But the receptionist, okay, that's the first line, you know, that's your first communication.
It's your face.
It's terrible, let's say. And I don't think they understand. I don't think they realize how injurious that is to their business, to their bottom line.
Absolutely. We have training sessions every other week.
If I call, do I get a human?
You get a human.
If you know what I mean? The first person?
Through lunch. Time.
Excellent.
You'll get a human.
Yeah, there's no prompts.
We do not have an answering service during lunchtime. We kind of rotate staff members, so there is a human all through the day.
We don't have an answering service, period.
After hours, that's your cell phone or mine. Guess what happens if a patient has a question after hours, Jeff?
What?
They call me on my cell phone.
Really?
Every patient has my cell phone number. That's the beauty of having an office where there are personal relationships with patients. No one abuses it. I never get that.
I was going to say, I wouldn't call your cell number unless I really, you know, needed to.
Well, this past weekend, a patient who was comfortable, by the way, but it was someone I did a little surgery on Thursday or Friday. She called Saturday afternoon, very apologetic, and she had a simple question. And she was very comforted to know that I just answered the phone.
And she didn't have to wait all weekend to get an answer.
Oh, no.
You know, till Monday.
Mm-mm.
But sometimes if something's bothering somebody and they got to wait all weekend, it's...
Our patients can call me on the phone. Call me on my cell phone. It's not a problem, and that's the beauty of having a small office where we have relationships with patients, and we can treat patients at a higher level.
All right. I love it. Let's talk about the surgical and non-surgical treatments for gum disease. Can we start with the non-surgical? I have some notes here.
Sure.
And one of them is one of the non-surgical treatments for gum disease is simply professional dental cleaning. What does that mean?
Well, I believe they're just referring to a regular cleaning, a regular prophy, a regular cleaning. That's the simplest. If there is no sign of gum disease whatsoever, no inflammation, and no periodontal disease, which means that there's bone loss, the simplest, best thing is just to keep up with someone's routine cleanings. Every 6 months, or I recommend 3 months for most adults, to be honest with you.
And what about scaling and root planing?
Yes, that involves making the area numb, and the dental instruments are just under the gum. It's an under the gum cleaning. As I mentioned before, the limiting factor is 5 millimeters. There are some patients that, and some situations in some patients' mouths that are very conducive to being made well with just some deep scaling. There are some areas of people's mouths and some patients that they just need surgery, and scaling would be a complete waste of time. Yet in a lot of general offices, they waste a lot of time and money on scaling when it's not necessary.
That's what RJ said.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
That's what happened to her.
That's what happened to her. And there are some patients that would benefit from both. So the non-surgical deep scaling and then surgically either to correct some simple anatomy and or maybe some bone regeneration. But either way, we will custom tailor a treatment plan which is best suited for that patient with that particular situation so that they can achieve periodontal or gum health.
So explain to me, basically, to this layman's mind, we want the root of the tooth to be smooth?
Yes.
We don't want it to be bumpy, craters?
Smooth.
Is that where bacteria can get in?
Like smooth and free of tartar or calculus on the root surface. The calculus will tend to grow into that pocket, and we want the root surface to be smooth and free of any accretions, and because those are view it as a piece of coral. So there's all kinds of little nooks and crannies for bacteria to flourish in.
Thus the, we said before the program began, you know, the very handsome or beautiful person who comes to your office, they look great, but beneath the surface there, we call it a terrarium, you know, where those nooks and crannies down at the root of the tooth where bacteria are enabled to grow.
Yes.
Or sometimes you see these little black lines shining through the gum line, and there is black and brown tartar on that tooth that has been there for years.
When we call it a terrarium, we're not kidding. I mean, there is a taste and an odor associated with periodontal disease, but not necessarily so. Not all the time with someone that has significant disease will notice a taste or odor, but if there is, it's by far the most common cause for it.
I wonder if we see ourselves, I'm not even talking about far down in the mouth, just the part that we others see, do we see ourselves as others see us? You know, I've seen people, you know, again, very
That's
professional looking people, doctors, lawyer, whatever, and they look great except for their teeth. And I say to myself, man, how does this person, you know, somewhere along the line, this person's 40 or 50 years old and never quite understood.
They're not bothered by it, or they're ashamed and too ashamed to even do anything.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
You know, something I've known people who, and we're going to talk about this next week when we talk about some of these, the beautiful smile, people though who, they cover their mouth when they want to laugh.
Yeah.
Because they don't want anybody to see.
Time.
Yeah. Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah.
You know, laughing is one of the great things we have in life.
Yep.
Absolutely. And a smile too.
Yeah. And smiling, laughing. Can we take a minute to talk about, or a few minutes here to talk about surgical treatments for gum disease? Let's start with flap surgery / pocket reduction surgery. Pocketing, I've heard that term.
Sure.
Unfortunately, I've heard it used on me, pocketing.
Basically, what I would do is once someone is completely numb, and again, we can use various forms of sedation as well, so that someone is completely comfortable, I will meticulously part the tissues and clean off the root surfaces deeper than where the scaling can reach. And we may smooth off some anatomy. And we then will suture the tissues back together in a very meticulous fashion so that there's no area that's raw, and patients tend to be extremely comfortable afterwards. Probably back to work within a day or two in my hands.
How about bone grafts? That's a surgical procedure.
In the same scenario that I just described, if there is a lot of bone loss and as evidenced by a defect in the bone visually and radiographically, then we can go in and provide a bone graft with or without a regenerative protein.
Is it your own bone?
We can use someone's own bone, or we can use some bone from a bone bank, a certified bone bank off the shelf. That's probably more common.
Is there synthetic?
There are synthetic options also, but I don't think in this application they work as well.
Isn't it amazing? Tissue engineering. Huh?
Yes.
That's what it's all about.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, we do have some growth factors available that mobilize the stem cells in the area to repair and create bone growth, as well as reattachment to the root surface, and we can save a very significant number of teeth can be saved in that manner, that otherwise they would just deteriorate and have to be extracted.
Wow. All right, we've got to take yet another break. When we get to the other side, we're going to talk about three more surgical treatments for gum disease. And fortunately today, there's a lot of options. So I'm looking at all these options here, and there's a lot of options for people. We're going to talk about Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Visit mygumdoc.com. Your office is located again where? What's the number?
2045
Peachtree Road, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital and right next door to the Darlington, you know, the place that's got the current population. It probably changes daily, I would imagine. And also remind our audience here, an evening lecture Thursday, September 10th at 6 p.m. at Brio Restaurant in the Peach Shopping Center. Great restaurant. Free of charge, folks. It's 6 o'clock. It's about dental implants. Go to mygumdoc.com to register. Mygumdoc.com. Back with more of Open Wide in just a moment.
And now, back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. You two have been working together for 20 years. Wow, I don't know very many people who've worked together for 20 years.
Yeah, we have two other staff members that have been there for 20 years as well.
Outstanding. Mm-hmm. That says a lot for a company, by the way.
It does.
I feel very fortunate.
I think I said that once before. You go to a car dealership and the sales guy that you had is gone 3 months later.
Yes.
You know, it's like, what's going on here? And we have a new patient special we need to tell people about. It's $129 and it is worth $650. So you're going to get $650 of product and services for just $129, folks. It is worth every penny of it. Also, interest-free financing, if we need to do a procedure for a year. Interest-free financing for a year or 10% off should it be over $2,000, your treatment. So we were talking about surgical treatments for gum disease. And maybe we can go on now to the soft tissue grafts?
Sure. That's a procedure that we will frequently do if there's not enough gum tissue around a tooth. A tooth needs even a small amount of healthy gum tissue. And if there isn't, or someone is long in the tooth, we can do a tissue graft to supplement the tissue that's there. In a few weeks, we're going to devote a whole show to grafting.
From whence does this?
Different sources.
Okay.
There's autogenous sources. We take tissue from the palate. A number of different techniques are involved.
Is that the roof of the mouth?
Yep. And then there are off-the-shelf sources as well. A tissue that's been donated, or there's some amniotic tissue also.
Really?
That we have. Wow. Yeah, really cool stuff. So we're going to talk about that in a subsequent show.
Guided tissue regeneration, what is that?
Well, basically what we found out many years ago is that if we do nothing but put the tissue back next to the tooth, then this area will repopulate with the wrong kind of cells. So guided tissue regeneration, actually what that means is that we can set the stage for a different type of healing and allow a different cell group to repopulate the area, and that promotes a higher level of health. So we do that during the flap procedure, and we have many, many, many hundreds of cases that we treated that way very successfully.
And finally, bone surgery.
Bone surgery, that's done in conjunction with a flap surgical procedure where there might be just a very small anomaly in the bone configuration, and it's very easy just to smooth off a little.
Maybe like a crater?
A crater, yeah. Very easy to smooth off a little ledge or two to allow the tissue to lay against the tooth in a better fashion, and it's a way of reducing the pocket later on. So we do all these techniques, it depends upon the case. Each case is different, and we have a lot of tools in our tool chest.
Well, we're just about out of time, Sue Skipper. You said you wanted to say something, please.
Well, I think what's important for our listeners to understand is that the treatments that Dr. Edelstein just reviewed are all very special and unique and successful. But what a periodontist brings to that bag of tricks, if you will, is that we are uniquely trained to assess correctly, determine the prognosis, recommend the right treatment, have the skill set to deliver those right treatments, assure it's done correctly, and then put your patient on maintenance. It's important to determine in advance, does the patient need surgical or non-surgical? And if those tools or bag of tricks are not utilized correctly, then the success rate goes down. And I think that's what a periodontist brings to a prospective patient.
I've got one last question. I'm going to direct it to you, Sue Skipper.
Okay.
Because, again, I don't want to embarrass
Dr. You're going to put me in the hot seat. Oh, okay.
Well, you know something? Actually, it's about your whole team.
Okay.
Do you feel when somebody has decided to come to Edelstein, okay, Dr. Bruce Edelstein, periodontist, but you have a whole team there.
Yes.
They've made a good decision.
Yes, I do. I couldn't be there for 20 years if I didn't believe that.
Oh.
Seriously. I mean, I really do. I believe that wholeheartedly about our practice. And I believe in the profession of periodontics generally. I've been in dentistry, all sides of it, for many years. I view us as the internists of dentistry, if you will. And I think that's really where the game is. I mean, I love veneers and bonding and pretty and cosmetic teeth, and it's important to fill teeth and have root canals done properly. But if the foundation is not well, what's the point of building a house on top of it?
Well said, I think, huh, Dr.
Perfect. That's it.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's edition of Open Wide with Sue Skipper, Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Visit mygumdoc.com. They're located on Peachtree Street, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital, 2045 Peachtree Street. Visit mygumdoc.com. And Sue and Dr. Edelstein, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
You're welcome.
This has been Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Specializing in periodontics, implants, and regenerative techniques, Dr. Edelstein's practice is Atlanta's premier periodontal office, where dentistry is both an art and a science. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com. Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein, Tuesdays at noon, only on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.